due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You want to doubt my wrestling ability? I have hung hold for hold, toe to toe with The Undertaker, with Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Christian, William Regal, Owen Hart, Mr. Perfect, Davey Boy Smith, the list goes on and on. Every style, I adapted. When it was my job, I pulled people up to my level. I taught guys how to get to the next level because that was part of my job and I was damn good at it. I was a five-tool workhorse for this company. Now, if you're paying attention, and I know you are, Randy, you'll notice that everything I said was in the past tense. Because I don't know if I can do any one of those things anymore. But at Backlash, I am going to dig to the very depths of my soul.
Hey, I'm Edge from the WWE, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 30th. Holidays real quick. It's just a couple today. It's Mint Julep Day and Water Flower Day. I think the clouds will do a good job of that for us today. Happy 65th birthday to WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts and current AEW manager, advisor. He does a lot of different things. And also, it's No Way Jose's 32nd today. He is a free agent. If you want to book him, I'm sure. You just got to find him. I'll let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby? Needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show. Today, I am the Cash Man. I'm your humble host, joined today by Danger Boy. How are you doing this morning, Danger?
Good morning.
Good morning. And to your, if you're following us, we're on Facebook Live. All the guys are remote. I'm here at the station. So we've got Furby from Hilton, New York. How are you doing, Furbs?
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
I got it now. You're mixing it up, so your background's different every time, so people don't know which house to rob, right? Is that it?
Something like that. I wanted to show off my little workmanship from this past week here.
All right. It looks pretty cool. But beneath you on the Facebook Live is the artiste, Rob Sanderson, joining us with his WWF Superstars flag. Looks like over your left shoulder there. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm still waiting for all the Superstars episodes on the network. Vince, let's go. Hurry up.
I
need 1994 and 1995.
You know he listens, so he's he'll be there.
And I'm sure he does.
Do you see Dan Cole rounding out the squares of knowledge here on the Pain Clinic from North Carolina? How are you doing this morning, DC?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, look at that. I like you get a little close. It's almost like we're going to give you a peck on the cheek or something there. What? No. Now you got a nice haircut. Listen, we're in phase four. Phase two now, so it means we can get our haircut if we want to, I think. You just have to make an appointment. But welcome to the show this week, guys. What do we want to talk about? I guess let's talk a little bit about some of the fallout from AEW's Double or Nothing pay-per-view last weekend. Saturday. It was Saturday night. It was the most watched AEW pay-per-view in their history, which Cody Rhodes did talk a little bit about Wednesday, and he wasn't lying about that. It was, as well as they probably doubled their normal. I know they surpassed Bleacher Report pays as well as the pay-per-view buys. So it was good news for AEW all around. What'd you guys think? I mean, we really broke that down last week. First of all, we want to talk about our boy from Rochester, Mr. Brody Lee. Does he get hurt by this? Because we were trying to find a way in which he could lose to Moxley and not be damaged at all. Is the way he lost a way he can bounce back pretty good?
I think from what I saw, in that match, it was pretty incredible. I don't think it really hurt him at all. It is a loss on the record, but it was still such a fantastic match from both ends that in any way, I don't think it hurts him at all.
Yeah, and they also went with the now more used and slightly overused, but the passing out instead of tapping out or getting pinned, which makes him look like he had that resolve not to quit type deal. They do use that. It's not even AEW. It's combined. Wrestling uses that too much currently. There's certain matches it's not needed, but this one it worked pretty well.
What about you, RT?
I would agree with that. I mean, I think it was a perfect way to have him lose. We talked about it probably being too early for him to win it all. I know watching the pay-per-view, I was a little disappointed at first that it wasn't going to be the last match. And then after watching the incredible stadium stampede, I'm glad the title match was before that. There's no way you could follow that. But props to the way they booked it. I think he's still strong. They kind of held him off TV for the most part this week. I'm assuming that next week we'll get to see him back in the fold, but I thought it was done well.
DC, any thoughts on that?
No, I would agree. I mean, that's probably the strongest you could look in defeat. Especially, he didn't tap out. Oh, it was just the stoppage. And then the fact that he kicked out of the finisher, after a one count.
I was going to say,
established him well.
Mox did his finisher through the entranceway, which kind of, and then Brody popped up, with some color, as they say. He was bleeding a bit. Power to him. It's good to keep him off TV because all Brody did in his Twitter was just give some kudos to Moxley. But, it makes sense. I mean, it's just hard to, it's hard to have a pay-per-view debut go to the new guy as well as the guy who just won the belt, maybe be defending it, on pay-per-view for the first time as well. So
the real question right now, though, is where do they go from here? Who is his next feud? And you see it so many times over the years where, WWE builds somebody up to make them a main eventer, and then they drop out. So I think this is the really crucial time to put him right into. I don't think you have to keep him with Moxley right now. Obviously, I think Moxley now turns his attention to Brian Cage, but you've got to get Brody right in the mix with something else going forward pretty quickly.
Yeah, and how soon we forget about Brian Cage? Mystery guy. Who's it gonna be? It's Brian Cage. We knew Brian Cage was coming over after Impact, after he won the Impact title. He got hurt right after that, and then he came over, he had to recuperate from his injuries, but there was always talk of him coming over, and then, he was just kind of forgot about it until the pay-per-view, and then, he looks like $1 million. He definitely is, has that incredible physique, and I think it's going to be good. I think it'll be good to him and Mox going up. I think him and anybody, honestly, bringing him in. But what do you guys think about Brian Cage's debut? Was that a surprise? I mean, it kind of was just because we thought it was going to, whenever you hear a mystery person, you always think it's someone who just got fired from the other company or something. But it was Brian Cage, and Taz being like his manager, kind of coming out and he's a monster.
To me, it was a surprise only because I had forgotten about Brian Cage, not the fact that the mystery participant was Brian Cage. I think, honestly, he surprised me. I didn't realize how athletic he was. I know he was big and he's a machine, but, doing some of the, there was one spot where he did like a flip in the ring, and I think this is a good way to continue to build the heavyweight division for the world championship in AEW. You know, have the bigger guys. You know, you see it first started with Jericho, and now Mox, you throw Brody Lee in there, and then now a guy of the stature of Brian Cage, just to continue to build that division, and then to separate that from the TNT championship, you know, kind of, I know Cody says he doesn't want to say it's a mid-card championship, but, you know, I guess to separate the divisions, I think this is something that having Brian Cage there really does show that there is some separation right now.
If you don't want it to be considered a mid-card title, maybe perhaps have it look a little bit better than the 24/7 title.
Yeah, it's true. It kind of not the greatest looking title in the world. I will say that, but I will say
I did like the picture that got posted around. It said Mike Tyson presents Cody Rhodes with the TNT, and then in parentheses, terrible neck tattoo championship.
I will say Cody came out and cut quite a promo this week about how it's going to be defended, and you know, and he even. I kind of like where he was going, how he compared himself to the Tom Brady, you know, not being the first guy picked out of, you know, the college draft, but, you know, the guy who's the MVP and can do it all. And, I mean, Cody, yeah, I love Cody. It was great promo. And what do you think about the advancement of the Mike Tyson thing going on this week? I know that was done mainly to get a lot of, you know, mainstream coverage, and I'm sure it did. But, you know, Mike Tyson comes out with, like, three UFC fighters who – Henry Cerruto, who just won a fight, like, a week ago and then retired from the UFC, is backing up Mike Tyson, Vitor Belfort, you know. And it was interesting having them come out and everything. But, obviously, this is going someplace. They just haven't really directed where. But we're obviously going to get a match, I think, with Tyson and Jericho. And I just love it how Jericho is basing this on something he did in WWE 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think we also learned that Mike Tyson needs to work on one, acting skills, because he looked terrible. He looked way too corny doing everything he did. And two, needs to go to the Hulk Hogan school of ripping off your shirt and cut the collar first, because he definitely got stuck doing that as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. He did get caught. You know, it was just kind of hanging on him. You know, it was more like the Lou Ferrigno Hulk. You know, it's just kind of a ripped up shirt hanging off his shoulders. But, you know, I think Mike Tyson gets in front of the spotlights, and then I think he forgets everything that he's supposed to do. I mean, it kind of looks like that a little bit.
I also want to know who that random dude was who was throwing the punches. Because if you notice, the UFC fighters didn't actually get into the fights. It was the random dudes in the entourage who were left in the ring to get beat up. Yeah. And I don't know who that one guy was, but he was definitely getting in there.
Was that the guy with the black eyes? He had, like, the black paint in the eyes. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people were saying it was Uno. Uno's like, it's not me, you know. But
that's definitely not Uno.
Yeah. It's, but I will say, also Rashad Evans was in there, too. So it was, like, got a bunch of Hall of Famers from the UFC. I don't really know where they want to go with that. Maybe they're just getting an appearance fee. I don't know. Hopefully they'll build more upon it. But, you know, Mike Tyson does draw some eyes. So especially after those workout photos that came out and videos from him a couple weeks ago. So a lot of people are paying attention to that.
I think, you know, as somebody like me who doesn't really follow UFC, and I know maybe I'm in the minority with that, but I wish commentary would have explained a little more who was who and what was going on, or why they were there or something. Because really it was just like, who are these guys? Okay, that's Tyson. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. My favorite part was Tyson's reaction to when Lance Archer gave that choke slam to the jobber and stuff. Like, the little funny facial reactions are worth having him around. But I don't know if I really want to see a match or something.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessary. Maybe Jericho will have a boxing match with him, and obviously he'll lose that pretty quick. But, and I mean, of course, Jericho and his crew coming off a loss as well on the pay-per-view. I don't know, quickly before we go to break, Stadium Stampede, thoughts on that? I mean, we got to see the evolution of Matt Hardy as he's being drowned in a pool. A lot of people took offense to that just because of what happened in the last week with Shad Gaspar, unfortunately passing away due to drowning. I thought it was funny, though. We got to see, and it's even on Wednesday night's show, they made him go back and turn into another Matt Hardy version before he came out and wrestled. I thought that was pretty funny. I think I kind of like, you know, them playing around with his incarnations, we'll say.
I think the Stadium Stampede match was probably the best. I know it wasn't really like cinematic version, but I know it was taped beforehand, I believe. I think that was the most well done style of match like that that I've seen so far since the, you know, the empty arena matches. It was a spectacle, and I really didn't want it to end.
I thought it was awesome. I went back and watched it again. I thought there was a lot of comedy. There were some great spots. I'm not crazy about how many of these cinematic matches we're getting or maybe are continuing to get with In Your House coming up, stuff like that. I don't want this to necessarily be a too often thing. But once the box serves a purpose, and that match was, it was awesome. It was a lot of entertainment.
A big, big bump, Sammy Guevara in there. Sammy Guevara, you know, taking that from that was insane. But
every single week, like he's kid's like 27. Like he's got to be careful with every single week. He's doing something crazy, but man, he's a star really in the making before our eyes right now.
Well, I will.
Yeah, and there was about three or four spots just in that match alone that he took. Obviously, the finish was the biggest one, but I could count two right from the first 5 minutes of the match that I was like, ugh, that could go wrong.
Well, there was that crash pad that when we saw the reverse angle of when he landed, but at least we know, you know, he got through with that. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. AEW, get a thumbs up from everybody here thinking it was great, and they can't wait for the next one now, see where they go with it. It did reflect in the ratings as well. Both NXT and AEW went up in ratings this past week, rebounded pretty good. So I think there was probably about 200,000 more people watching it AEW than they were last week. So, but I think last week we were going, I'm not sure why nobody was watching, but nevertheless, we're going to go to break on that, come back. We got some stuff to talk about. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the IC tournament, what we saw last night in SmackDown, and whatever you want to talk about, give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You're more than welcome to join us. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
It took Lashley 13 years. And after 13 years, Lashley has a WWE Championship opportunity because of me.
13 years. 13 years. Whoop-de-doo. It took me 19 years to get my first WWE Championship opportunity. I don't need anybody thinking for me.
And a little aside for those watching at home, we are still in the pandemic era of wrestling. Broadway is dark. Wrestlers are without our greatest asset, the fan. But you give us 2 hours of your time every Wednesday night. If you can see me, I'm looking right at you. You bought this pay-per-view in mass. You blew projections away. It is my obligation to give you the best. So follow me, because this is where the fun begins.
I don't know what the future holds for Rey Mysterio, but if that act was his final act as a WWE superstar, then it was a courageous one, because it allowed us to move forward into the future.
This is Charles Robinson, the Lowell Nature Boy, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Rick and I will be styling and profiling. You keep listening.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little Charles Robinson there. That's back when Charles Robinson wasn't a referee. He was he used to carry Ric Flair's Rolex when he would wrestle. He would give it to him. He was also the president of the Ric Flair fan club down in North Carolina. And now he's probably one of the longest referees in WWE right now, I think. Still there, I believe. Yeah, Nate, I don't think he got a furlough or anything because of what's going on. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I know I don't need to explain these IDs, but I do sometimes because I like to pull out the old ones. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, Furby, and the Danger Boy, and you. And we're talking the world of pro wrestling. If you want to talk about pro wrestling, give us a call, 222-1280. 1280. I did kind of tease a little bit last night. We saw SmackDown, and it was started up with, I think, a terrible, terrible angle. I think they did redeem themselves by the end of the show, but they started... Nah. No, you don't think so? Okay.
No, they didn't. No. It's stupid.
Okay, so they start the show up with apparently... was hit by a car.
Elias.
Elias was hit by a car. Elias used to have a last name, too. I keep remembering that. But he was hit by a car. He was taken out of the IC title tournament that he was supposed to be wrestling. I think AJ Styles. I can't remember. It was either AJ or Daniel Bryan, one of them guys. And so,
AJ.
And so this is the beginning of the show. The car's tipped up a little sideways. Someone was checking the oil and left the hood unpopped. And Elias was laying on the ground, being stretchered out. Then they find Jeff Hardy, on the side down the road a little bit. Apparently, a witness had said they had seen someone run from the car, and then they find Jeff Hardy smells like alcohol, gets thrown in the back of a police car, and that's the beginning of SmackDown last night. It's just, with Jeff Hardy's problems coming back, it was a terrible way to start the show. But it did lead into a couple cool matches that were on the show. Obviously, they're stretching out this Intercontinental title. We're still getting the same finals in, 2 weeks or whatever. It's going to be a backlash, I'm guessing. But what do you guys think about them, trying to, write an angle based off of Jeff Hardy's former alcohol? I mean, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic, and he isn't always an alcoholic. And they're trying to, pin some blame on him by someone dousing him. At least that's what I'm guessing by the end of the show, is that someone doused him with it and beat him up and stole his car and did that. Or his rental, whatever it might be. I'll tell you, there's nice rims on that rental, though. But, what do you guys think? I mean, that definitely was not a good start, huh?
It was absolutely tasteless. It was desperate writing and booking by WWE. And not only that, it was just awful. Like, the acting, everything, awful. Can we please, for a second, talk about the cop who grabs a full beer from the car, sniffs it, puts it back, and then finds the rental agreement and reads Jeff Hardy's name like he just won an award?
Yeah. Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy? Anybody? Jeff Hardy? And then he won't let Caleb Braxton,
yes,
near Jeff Hardy. He's like, no, no, ma'am, you have to stay back. It's a crime scene. But then the refs and the producers are running that way. The whole thing was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
right. Is this setting up like a match with Scott Hall in a WCW throwback pay-per-view soon?
I was thinking either that or...
Haven't we learned our lessons with these type of angles?
Is Draz going to push him off the Titantron?
Yeah, he's going to fall off the Titantron there, or what is it? CM Punk got who's dumping?
Oh, that was Jeff Hardy as well.
No, Chris Jericho dumped alcohol down CM Punk's mouth. Remember when they had that feud going and he pinned him down on the side?
But at least Chris Jericho had the good grace to slip on the alcohol and create a very funny moment.
That's true. So yeah, it was a kind of a rough start, and it's like if they didn't do what they did at the end, it would have been just even worse. I think they tried to redeem it by having Jeff Hardy being released by the police, and then he makes it back in time, just in time to distract Sheamus, who I'm guessing is a perpetrator of this crime to him. Nothing has been stated, but Sheamus, he starts fighting with Sheamus in the ring after Daniel Bryan gets a 1-2-3 on him.
If you do it with somebody that doesn't have a history, maybe you can pull it off. But to do it with Jeff Hardy, who had what? Didn't he have two incidents when he was injured in the last year?
Yeah, I mean, how come they didn't have...
It's not a good look.
How come they didn't have a big bag of pills in there, too, or something, Because that was his problem as well, the painkillers.
And the weird part about it to me is the way they built up, they had a series of four interviews or vignettes with Hardy about building up his comeback and how he's going to come back from this and whatnot. And then, within the first 3 weeks that he's back on TV, they're shooting this angle. To me, it was just, again, like DC said, it was tasteless. It really, there was no point for it. And all it really did to me is feel like now they were just rushing this IC tournament just so that they could lead up to the finals, which I think is going to be the Friday before Backlash. And it just, it takes Hardy out of it. It takes Elias out of this now. And then it gives us what we all predicted pretty much with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles anyways, But how about the segment right afterwards where they're all in the workout room with producer Adam Pearce, and they're all just fighting about who the heck's going to be the next competitor in this. And AJ Styles gets a free rein to the road, to the finals, but Daniel Bryan wants to have a match for it. It was really just all thrown together really weirdly.
Well, amazing thing is this was recorded too, like a while ago. This wasn't done the same day, I don't believe. I mean, some of this stuff was.
No, it was recorded Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which is why I think with everything that happens and is happening in this country right now, I don't even know if you would want to, if this was live last night, they probably would have scrapped this just with a segment involving police. We'll just leave it that way. With what's going on right now, it's probably something you just want to avoid altogether if you're WWE right now.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And it was a bad start. It was like a crash start. That's what I thought of. And watching, it's like, you know, doesn't make any sense, you know, because they keep wanting to get Elias out of all these matches too for some reason. And one way or the other, they throw him off of the balcony, or he gets hit by a car, or they find him on the ground in the backstage area. Are they just covering up for his inadequacies also in the ring? Or I wonder why it's always him, you know? Anyone have any thoughts on that? No, we'll just leave that.
I don't think he's that bad to begin with in the ring. I mean, he's not spectacular, he's not amazing, but he's good enough where he shouldn't be just continuously taking him out every time.
I know, it's always him too for some reason. Do you guys, before we go to break, one more thing, did you guys see the Otis and Mandy segment? Now, this was completely lost on the youth of today, because that was a flashback from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. There's a scene in that movie where Phoebe Cates is coming out of the pool, and the guy's imagining the whole thing. And it was weird that Mandy was the one imagining Otis coming out doing the Phoebe Cates part. So I just thought that was I don't know. This is weird. I just find it very weird. I don't know where it's going. Hopefully it'll end sometime soon. It's just one of those things. It's like, I don't really care. And I like Sonya better now, because she seems to come out and get beat up by everybody and go, you know, but she's out there every week wrestling now. So, I don't know. It's just, SmackDown was definitely something odd last night. That's for sure. Hopefully they get back on the track today. We're going to go to break on that, come back and talk some more wrestling. Whatever you want to talk about too, 222-1280, Star 12. We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
Phantasma, it's carpe diem next week. You know, both of us have got to seize the day. You've got your journey, I got mine, but I don't think you understand that a lot of people don't believe in themselves until others have the belief in them, and that's how I feel. So next week, I'm winning the whole damn thing. I'm going to be the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. I'm shooting for the moon on this one. I am going to be the NXT Cruiserweight Champion.
I'm going to say this to you one time, Tyson. Shut your mouth when I'm talking to you. Huh? You understand me? I have been dreaming of this moment for 10 years. You turned on me. You looked me in the eye and said I could trust you. And then you turned on me and you knocked me out.
Because you're a sucker, man. You deserved that, man. Because you were wrong. You stole the championship.
In Tony Khan's mind, when Tony Khan thinks of AEW and he thinks about making a merit-based wrestling company, a bell-to-bell-based wrestling company, naturally, he's going to want to recruit the best wrestlers in the whole world. So I wasn't the first call. And I wasn't second called. I wasn't even the third called. But it doesn't bother me. And if there is a tinge of bother, it is absolved by the fact that in my right hand is the TNT Championship, and I am the very first champion of America's greatest network.
Hi, this is Greg the Hammer Valentine, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Man with hands of baseball gloves. He's got a mitt. What a mitt he had. Welcome back. I'm the Cash Man. I'm with the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, and Furby. Everyone's kind of switching spots on the four corners of wrestling intelligence on this week's show. Welcome back to the show. So, yeah, here, that was the Cody thing I was telling you about where he was like talking. He was comparing himself to Tom Brady. Thought that was interesting. But there's a lot of news. One of the big things in news I haven't even mentioned yet is we had the FTR debut. FTR, which is stands for. What does it stand for? Because it has stood for so many things.
There's a bunch of different things, really. So
and the new merchandise, it's F the rest.
So it's the former guys from the WWE that we the revival. They finally debuted this past Wednesday. Do you think obviously this is how they're going to work people in, kind of like during the Wednesday night show? What did you think about that? You know, them pulling up, just kind of coming in and clearing house. And actually,
people need to stop driving their trucks 5 feet and then getting out and come in, like go through the crew members or something. The car thing looks so stupid when you go so short.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the funny thing is they were building this whole rivalry up online with the Young Bucks before this, and then they end up defending the Young Bucks when they're getting double-teamed and whatnot. I thought that was great, but, I mean, it's nice to see these guys finally show up, and now we got a heck of a tag team division in AEW. I mean, think about it. Who's in there? It's so much stronger than anything else in wrestling right now. And it just keeps getting padded by more and more good things. So I'm kind of excited.
And I was really happy that they came out. And obviously there was the swerve there. And I think they can do a slow build to a match with the Bucks, which will be something a lot of people have been waiting a long time for. I like that the first people they really touched were Butcher and Blade. That's a match that I really want to see. And I remember, like, I tweeted on April 10th or whatever when that release happened, like, say, yeah, we're one step closer to seeing the revival against Butcher and Blade. And immediately Andy the Butcher responded, "Give me that meat," with a lot of exclamation marks. And I know that's a match that they would love to have. And I'm excited about that. I think obviously you got a lot of FTR kind of get built up within the company. And I like that it seems like they're maybe not going to go right to the Bucks. Just let that build. Let that be maybe an all-out match or something like that. But don't give it to us like next week.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't rush to the FTR Bucks right away as well. One thing that I wanted to point on too that kind of happened on AEW Dark was Allie kind of stepping away from Butcher and the Blade and no longer really being the bunny. It looks like she stole QT Marshall's apple, if you will, and she was maybe possibly now part of the Nightmare family, whatever they want to go with that. But
don't go too far with that just yet.
They were showing him on the sidelines during the show too. That QT Marshall was there, was kind of being distracted as well. But I will say that it was cool that they showed up. And if you want to, and they're going to do a live interview this Wednesday night on AEW. They kind of promoted it, so we're going to get them talking for the first time to a national audience. I mean, yes, they've been, I'm sure, on some of people's podcasts and whatnot, but they're not. You know, they're going to be on TNT talking about it. But I thought it was pretty cool. And it's like, and the thing too about the Butcher and the Blade there, we haven't seen those guys in a while. It's like a lot of these guys kind of are waiting in the wings to get an opportunity. We need to get that second show. That's really what the one that they talked about, the second 2 hours. And man, when they get that, then we'll be all set. But I thought it was a great debut. I think AEW is doing all the right things right now, and I can't wait till there's crowds again. I mean, that's the, you know, we have kind of crowds, you know, like the now WWE this past week reinstituted the trainees are allowed to be in there now. But if you watch it, they're behind hockey glass and they're 6 feet apart from each other, one close to the glass and one.
They're not 6 feet apart though. Michael Cole said that last night too, like, oh, we're practicing safe social distancing. They're 6 feet apart. And then literally like 5 seconds later, they showed five people standing within a 6 foot area. Like, I don't know. Are they going to bring the plexiglass on the road with them? Or just ask these arenas to keep the glass up and then nobody sits on the floor? Like, I don't know.
The best part about it was they were social distancing, and then I think it was, I can't remember if it was Monday or on NXT, then they, the people who were in the crowd who were social distancing then came in the ring and started Monday. Like acting as security.
They pulled,
like,
they're pulling apart people.
What's the point?
That's the question is, did you see, by the way, did you look at, did you notice any of the guys that were, that that were the trainees that were there? There was one dude that looked like he was 7 feet tall. He, I mean, he was a giant. And when he came in to pull people apart on Monday, it's like, this guy is like, I mean, he's like bigger than everybody by a lot. And it's like, I'm guessing somebody will see eventually, but I kind of caught him. And then I've been looking for him since Monday. But, the, you know, there's a bunch of the NXT wrestlers as well that were wrestled on NXT that were part of the crowd as well. But, you know, this is something that they're allowed to do now with the way they have it set up. And I think, you know, it took them a while to figure that out. But AEW was doing it, you know, since the beginning, pretty much allowing people to be ringside. No plexiglass or anything, but well, I'm sure they're probably, you know, trading bars with each other back and forth about what they're doing wrong and right or whatnot. But I'm excited just to see, hear crowds a little bit, you know. I mean, you know, like last night, we, you know, champ comes out, women's champ comes out, and people are booing her to the point where she turns around and tells them to shut up. So it's like, it's just a good thing to, for this. And now we're in phase two here in New York. You can get haircuts, and now it just means things will slowly but surely keep opening, you know, in the next few weeks, which is a good thing, you know, because...
I saw we got a question on Facebook Live about July 8th, though. I still don't think that's happening in time.
Has not been
in terms of...
Has not been canceled
Dynamite
yet.
Here.
Has not been right. canceled yet. If you heard last week's right. show, you heard Cody talk about it. So... until we're sure it's canceled, we're not going to say anything. But, I mean, they may, you know... I was thinking he might be doing a social distancing show here in Rochester, but would that make sense to fly everybody here to do something like that? Probably not.
There's no sense in flying everybody here, and the amount of tickets they would have to refund. How do you pick who gets refunded and who doesn't if you're going to have – because they obviously can't have everybody there planning to sit there. So it makes no sense. I can almost guarantee, I'm about 99.9% sure we will not see that show in Rochester. Or if we do, there's no fans.
Well, and I'm guessing it's maybe our reward for not having that show is maybe we get a pay-per-view in the future. Because we are the right size of arena when they're on the road to do a pay-per-view, I think.
And I was
they've got their set locations, though, it seems like, for a lot of these. Like, Chicago's going to get one every year, at least. Vegas is going to get one every year, you know.
And I was just thinking about it because they had briefly mentioned, obviously, Fyter Fest this past week. And when listening to Cody saying that they didn't really cancel the July 8th show yet, things of that nature, and knowing that Fyter Fest was in over the summer last year, maybe they try to work that angle. Maybe I'm just hopeful. Who knows? But maybe they try to do something with Rochester and Fyter Fest.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that was like on the beach, right? Last year, that was the place they are now, the outdoor place.
Yeah, that was at the Daly's.
Daly's, yeah, which is right next, of course, to Jacksonville's football stadium, which made it perfect for the stadium stampede match. Some other news we're going to dabble on just a little bit. Drew Gulak is back with WWE. He was gone for a week. He was the unnamed wrestler in the picture a week ago, and now he's back to being named, I guess, on WWE.com because he is back. And you know, but of course, it was a stupid thing to even let him lapse. But you know, and he did. I guess he did weigh out and so. But he was letting everybody know that he was interested in going back. So he was just, you know, just negotiating. But he's back. He's back.
I was just going to say that Fyter Fest last year was Daytona Beach. That Fight for the Fallen one.
That's what
whatever
it was,
that was. Like, one of them was, I think Fyter Fest was the video game tie-in or whatever. One of them was in Jacksonville. That one was Daytona Beach. Either way, I don't necessarily, okay. I don't know if it's it's kind of almost like a beach theme look to it. I don't know if Rochester fits the mold for that, but
no.
Not that it needs to, but I don't know.
Do we have a beach here? Yeah, not near the city, that's for sure.
as somebody who spent the last 2 years living on the beach, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Sorry, Charlotte.
Yeah, I forgot. I forget your office was right across the street from, you know, a golf, you know. I mean, I can understand that. By the way, Mr. Artis, what do you think about what they're talking about with NHL going on?
I am in the minority in the hockey world. I think it's stupid. Every other league in the world has canceled this season. And I don't need the NHL to start back up in August because it's going to, you're screwing over next season and maybe the season after that too. I want it to go back to normal as much as possible. And I think at some point you got to cut your losses instead of having 24 teams start playing in the middle of summer. To me, it's just too late. It's unfortunate, but I know that most hockey people are really excited. I'll watch it for sure. I'll be excited about it, but it's gonna impact next season too. And I don't like that.
No, that's true. And I mean, as soon as they announced what they were thinking about doing, immediately the Sabres were eliminated. You know, I mean, it pretty much.
So the Sabres are probably gonna go like 9 months without playing. And then what if like the minor leagues start back up, then are the minor leagues playing next season while the NHL is still working on the season before? Like, I don't know. The whole thing's just crazy.
They should just cancel it. You're right. And now they're talking the NBA is going to start at the end of July. And they're incorporating 22 teams into what they're talking about. So
not to go on a huge tangent, that is the one thing I would kind of like to see going forward is one way or another the NHL and the NBA stop having such a very similar schedule. For like arena conflicts, TV conflicts, all that, I would love to see them not overlap as much as they currently do if one of these leagues decides to permanently shift when their season starts or ends. I'm okay with that.
True. I mean, hockey, do you think hockey should be played 90 degrees summertime heat? Maybe not.
Nope.
Maybe not.
As a hockey guy, I would prefer for the NBA to move because the NBA doesn't need good ice conditions in Dallas, Texas in August and stuff like that. But...
Oh, you're right. You know, it's like, but the almighty dollar dictates everything. So it's like, you know, we'll see what happens.
Sure does.
I definitely wanted to ask you about that because I saw that. I was really disappointed that, you know, that, I mean, yes, our season was done once, you know, for the Sabres, and then it was officially done in this, you know, when they're talking about coming back. And it's like, they shouldn't even bother. Just, I like your ideas, like start when they normally should for next year and just scrap the rest of this year. We saw baseball do it in a strike year back in like 1994, I think. They had a strike and they said, okay, we're not going to have a World Series. We'll just start again next year. And so, you know, this is a little bit different than that. But, people are holding out hope and stuff. Speaking of holding out hope, I was holding out hope last night that we would see Matt Riddle on SmackDown because there was so much talk about after that match, that cage match he had on AEW, that he was going to be debuting on SmackDown. And, yes, he kind of did. I mean, Kurt Angle came out and showed a package of Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle is, kids love him, you know? And I think he's one of those guys where that you know, is going to be like a kid magnet when it comes to doing live shows out in the crowds again. And I think it's a big benefit to get him on a show that's traveling like this and going to have huge crowds. But what do you, you know, that, not only did that, but I guess Dominik Dijakovic, is that how you say his last name? I don't know.
Dijakovic,
that's right. I got to remember, I sounded out each part. He's supposedly going to be debuting on SmackDown as well pretty soon. So what do you think about Matt Riddle there? You know, the bro, the original bro, who's going to be debuting on SmackDown.
I think it's a good move. I think it was a good time, you know, especially with no longer having Pete Dunne there with him in NXT. I think it gives a very good opportunity for him to showcase now on Fox, you know, get him on a big network like that. Riddle is fantastic, so that is one thing, you know, that we'll all see. So putting him on a big scene like that, I think, you know, it's fantastic. You know, I did also want to mention, obviously, with Dijakovic, I saw that last night, too. Not sure whether it's going to be SmackDown or Raw yet, but we should see his debut in the next couple of weeks. And it'll be interesting to see if we see continuously more NXT talent up to the main roster now. But also, along the lines of NXT and debuts, Deonna Purrazzo debuted on Impact this week with a vignette. So that's the first one that we saw from these recent cuts or, you know, releases make their debut. I know the Revival or FTR, whatever you want to call them, their contracts were ended, but Deonna Purrazzo was the first one that was actually released to show up somewhere else.
And apparently, IWF, you know, Internet Wrestling Fans, got all over Kenny Omega for them not signing her, too, because they felt that she would have been a solid hand to be working in AEW.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the Impact Women's Division versus AEW Women's Division, the Impact Division wins in terms of the talent that they have signed. So that's a nice signing for Impact. I would have liked to have seen her in AEW, but, you know, I still like what they've done with Shida, and they still have Statlander, who I think has been one of the best newcomers in recent years as well. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a big get for Impact and maybe helps put them a little bit more on the map because they've really been lost in the shuffle the past year or so.
True.
Back to Matt Riddle. I really hope he kind of gets a big push on SmackDown. Maybe it's just me, but I felt his whole NXT run, for as good as he is, his NXT run was mediocre at best. I mean, you can't really point to any really huge moments for him. So hopefully, I mean, I think this is the first time I've been more optimistic that an NXT guy will get better treatment with a call up.
Yeah.
Well, and it's really exciting, I guess, to look at the potential matches he can have with the SmackDown roster. I just, you know, he goes to SmackDown, AJ goes to SmackDown. Like, can we get some help for Raw? Because that's, to me, Raw is the least watchable show in pro wrestling every week.
Well,
and they could use some help.
You know, when Fox gives you, $4 billion or whatever to put your programming on, that's going to become the number one show. Obviously, it has.
What did you just say about it all being about the money? Oh, we were talking about hockey, but yeah, that's everything.
That too. We got a break, guys. We got one more segment. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
It's JB Jeremy Borash, and you are listening to my favorite radio show in the entire world, The Pain Clinic, on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Yes, JB. I don't know if that's the case anymore, but it was back then. Welcome back. He was on every other week, right? Jeremy Borash when he was part of Impact Wrestling. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, Danger Boy, and Furby, and you. And we are on Facebook Live if you would like to see the handsome fellows who are a part of the Pain Clinic. Sans me, because there's not enough space for my big fat head on that screen. So welcome back to the show. So we got to do some more news here a little bit. This came out this week that Samoa Joe is permanently replacing Jerry Lawler on Monday Night Raw. Good thing, bad thing? I mean, I've been loving Joe. He's not yelling puppies. So what do you think? What do you guys think about Lawler being on the outs again as well?
Definitely good thing. His jokes were getting to be outdated. He was saying things that probably should have gotten him kicked off TV anyways. Joe's a very good professional at doing it. So it's 100% for the better.
They could have replaced Jerry Lawler with a mop and it would have been an upgrade.
Moppy.
I think Samoa Joe on the mic and announced team is fantastic. It's a shame right now that, of course, we can't see him in the ring too, but hopefully maybe someday that'll get back there. But right now he's in the right place at the right time and he's doing wonders. So thank you, Joe.
All right. What about you, Mr. Artiste?
So I agree on all that. Lawler is not somebody who necessarily needs to do commentary every week. I think there's still a way to mix him in once in a while, maybe have him host a King's Court, whatever the case is, in a little bit more of a controlled atmosphere. But Joe's really good on the mic. I agree. I'd much rather see him wrestling. I mean, he does a good job with anything he does.
True. And Joe, a seasoned veteran as well. And Joe will be back in the ring. Right now, he's just not okay yet. But they like what he's doing enough to say. I mean, they liked him in that first run he had, you know, which was about a year ago, I think. And they liked him enough that they wanted him to be an announcer. And I've seen that happen before. Remember Macho Man? When his end of his time in WWE, they wanted him to be an announcer instead of being a wrestler. And they kind of tried to convince him he was past his due, though he went to WCW, won the championship a bunch of times, and actually had some great matches. But in the WWE, they wanted him to be an announcer. They didn't want him to be a wrestler anymore. And so he left. And maybe that Joe will have to do that eventually if he wants to be a wrestler again. Speaking of wrestler who is an announcer, now Nigel McGuinness has been missing from NXT. And it came out that he's been one of the furloughed employees, which is kind of silly because I enjoy his commentary. I think he does.
I think he's one of the best that WWE has on the commentary table.
I mean, he was part of Impact, too. He did some Impact commentary, if you go back and look at some of their old stuff, too. But, I mean, but nobody knew what was going on, and then they just found out that he was part of the furloughed group back in April. So that's why we're getting Beth Phoenix and Mauro Ranallo now, which I don't have a problem with either, to be honest with you. Except for the fact that Beth Phoenix stepped on Mauro Ranallo a bunch of times. And I know Mauro talks too much. I know a lot of people have a problem with
it. Unpopular opinion. I mean, no disrespect by this, but obviously, like, I'm picky about commentators. That's my least favorite commentary team on TV. And I think most people disagree with me on that. That's fine. I think Mauro can be really good in doses. I just don't think everything needs to be the most exciting thing ever. And Beth was one of my favorite people in the ring. Not my favorite commentator.
Well, you know, I mean, and there's points. And listen, Mauro Ranallo is used to doing things by himself for years and years and years. So it's all of a sudden you have to open up and allow a lot of the people in. Sometimes you get step on people, and that's, you know, where Corey Graves kind of took a shot at Mauro Ranallo, you know, what was that, WrestleMania weekend or whatever, when he did, and then all of a sudden he wasn't on NXT because he felt he was kind of taking shots at saying Mauro was talking too much. But Mauro, you know, I mean, you know, if you don't squeak in on him, you're not going to get in at all. So you have to be aggressive when it comes to announcing with that guy. But, you know, and
my only criticism of Beth, I guess, is it seems to me like she is reading, like, sentences that are written out. Like, I feel like she's reading more than just naturally reacting to things. I think she's also improved with it, and it can continue to improve. But when they had Nigel and stuff, I just think it was a little better. But even like mixing in Tom Phillips in like kind of like hosting role or whatever, like I think there are certain ways to kind of balance that out a little bit. It's just my personal preference, not my favorite team.
Okay, well,
and just speaking of just speaking of announced teams real quick, going to Excalibur, who I kind of compare to Mauro sometimes, I wish he was just a little bit more excited when Brian Cage made his debut. It was kind of like very nonchalant.
Okay, we got about 30 seconds left. Guys, I want to thank you for coming on this week. Another week in the books of the Pain Clinic, done via Microsoft Teams. And guys, hopefully we'll do it again next week. I'm looking forward. Next week we got In Your House to promote as well. So we got a lot of cool things happening. Thank you so much, Artiste, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, and Furby. We are out of here. We'll see you next week, folks.